So, the initial I is the I that is the one self from which the multiplicity emanates. What must be understood is that there is only one I. Only that one is real. The rest are all reflections, emanations, expressions, archetypal permutations, but it's all one I. Every one of us, every being in the universe shares the same ultimate I. When you have removed all the intermediary thought forms, the I that you are is the Supreme Self, is God, is Shiva, is Brahman, is Allah. There is no other I. When that sinks in, that's when the journey of return to the self is able to be actualized. But you have to be able to grok that as a truth. You have to be able to even begin by imagining that all share the same ultimate perceiver, ultimate intelligence that is manifesting as infinity. But it's the zero point, which is the infinitesimal and the infinite simultaneously. So this is the ultimate state that everyone will return to, but most will go there after the death of the body and will not know it while the body is alive, because they have been identified with thought forms, not with the thinker, the creator of those thought forms. And so long as you have not freed yourself from the bondage of identification with a thought form, and the body is a thought form, everything here is a thought form. It's made out of light and intelligence, but it is all from the thought of the oneself. So once there is a recognition that you are liberating yourself from the belief that you are only a reflection, a shadow, an ultimate point of, we could say, self-alienation, because there is so much distance psychologically and in terms of your belief system from that ultimate reality. But you are already that, and that is active, awake, and present within you at every moment. It's not just that it will happen at the end. So the second eye is the eye of divine wisdom and of the will of God and of the adoration of God, adoration that is internal to God consciousness, not an intersubjective relation, but a relation of unity. And from that, that supreme love emanates the beauty of that love in the form of the quantum and qualium waveforms that fill the space that is emanated, which is Brahman, right? As the the God field that then contains within it congealed the quantum unified field, and within that the waveforms that at other levels of the eye will collapse into apparent physical forms until the entire hologram is filled out and developed as an entire unified theodrama. But the wisdom of that emanates from the absolute I and becomes capable of being translated into thought. This is where I would locate the Tao, the Bodha, which is the Buddha mind, and the goddess Shakti. Below that is the eye of luminous clarity. And it's a clarity that is oriented toward a reality that is perceivable. It's a clarity of mind that is open to becoming a perceiver, that is the transition between nirvana and samsara. It is a capacity now to enter into time and space, into an unfolding process, and it has that ability of freedom to perceive what really is. But it is able to perceive forms that will arise in its consciousness that will reflect its symbolic meanings, its symbolic significance to itself. The fourth is one that I think is often left out, which is the eye of sense. And what do I mean by sense? It's a generalized sense of reality. The reason why the world seems to make sense to people. Maybe it no longer does, but in general, people take for granted that they are born into a world, you know, a world where people are born and die, where everything is temporary, where there is gravity, where there are stars, where there are laws of nature, where you can breathe the atmosphere, and you know, all these kinds of almost impossible, miraculous aspects of the phenomenal plane, the infinite beauty of all the forms of nature, the orchid with its symbiosis with the wasps and the bees, that, and all the flowers pollinated by creatures of other species. All of those interacting aspects of the ecosystem that show it is a system, it's a single intelligence of mutual benefit that supports the enhancement of life. And that whole understanding of the world making sense to you. Imagine being born as a baby And suddenly you're in a new world in a body that is almost totally helpless, and yet you're in a state of wonderment about it, not a state of paranoia. You don't see that in babies, at least not if the mother is there loving it, and it knows automatically, you know, to trust the mother, to breastfeed, to let her bathe and change and do everything for the baby. There's a naturalness to it that isn't coming from the baby's thinking out, okay, I was just born and that person's a mother, that's dad, and that, you know, there, it doesn't happen that way. It's a knowledge that is imminent and is inherent. But imagine if you tomorrow woke up and found yourself in the body of a baby, a strange baby with a strange mother, and your world that you remembered from the day before was gone, would you be in a state of wonderment or of paranoia? And saying, what is going on? I must be dreaming. This is a nightmare. So the baby doesn't have that, even though it did just come from another life to be reborn, at least in most cases. So the natural wonder that comes as the process unfolds in the way that is meant to, in accord with the will of God, is one that is not questioned because of the eye of sense. And that eye creates an event horizon that separates the world of sense from the world that is beyond sense, the nirvanic world of the higher levels of the eye. And now we enter into the eye levels that will become phenomenalized. They will begin to be identified with material vehicles. But before that,